This is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news, intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversation. 96.9 FM. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Networks.
Morning this morning and welcome back to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, your station for fresh news, smart talk all day. It is Monday, the 8th of May, 2023, and you are on the clock with Erin Green. On the clock, we engage organizations, institutions, social and cultural leaders, and ordinary people to better understand the impact of public policy, private sector development, and emerging social and consumer trends. On the clock, we have conversations that help us understand and navigate a rapidly changing Bahamas. A good morning, Bahamas. I have joining me this morning Mr. Cecil Newry. It's a What's a Monday open line. I just want to say, as always, I reserve the right to not talk about certain things, but you have the right to put them on the table, and let's see where we go from there. There's lots to talk about this morning from Friday. I want to discuss the article, Reverend Thompson takes over as chairman of Bahama Games. That was in the Nassau Tribune, 3rd of May. That was Wednesday of last week. I think that's an extremely, extremely important discussion. And yes, we have lots of important other discussions on the table. We cannot doubt that. Resolution on Human Rights Committee passes in the House. That was the 27th of April, 23. Organization for Responsible Government encourages public to provide input on Ombudsman Bill. That was the 5th of May, 23. Privy Council issues major ruling on citizenship, May 4th, 23. PM and AG welcome High Court decision. Privy Council dismisses absurd arguments made on AG's. Another fascinating set of articles. CJ orders demolition of two shanty homes. That's the Nassau Guardian and the Tribune. Shanty win, but for just two homes. Office of the AG sought demolition for more than 200 shanty sites in Nassau and Abaco. These are all sort of prepared notes on. I'm definitely going to be talking about the Bahama Games story. Mr. Newry is joining me this morning. Mr. Newry, let's touch a bit on the Privy Council cases and CJ cases, but let's also be prepared to continue those discussions on Wednesday.
Wednesday definitely be hot, and that's when we can have a mashup man down Wednesday. We'll in detail and hash out exactly that we are introducing today. And I appreciate you allowing me to come on your show today because I wanted to see if the Bahamian audience, the listening audience, the Bahamian at large, realize that the Privy Council damned the judicial system. Anybody, one of the questions, what do you mean by damned?
Yeah,
it said it suggested that we are incompetent, we are inept, and in fact stupid. And in fact, they use snarky words in their decision. They suggested that a place that has so many lawyers, who brags and say they have so many KCs and QCs, that they cannot interpret the most simplest part of the Constitution. In fact, they say it's blatantly obvious. And a blindness. You don't need us to interpret this. How is it that you couldn't see the obvious? You know what I'm saying? The people in the Bahamas that simple that they couldn't read the Constitution and then conclude? I saw that. And that's why I wanted to say, hey, if you're going to give me the opportunity to talk, I can take advantage of this 3 minutes and push that that the Privy Council. And that's why I smile at Gonzalez, you know, because he might have seen something.
Listen.
And I'll go far. Let me give me the 5 minutes. I'm going to extend from 3 to 5 now. From Sir Lyndon, big-time lawyer. Couldn't see it. It's so simple. Then it gone to Hubert Ingram. Simple. Couldn't see it. And we're at Perry Christie, a lawyer. Couldn't see it. They said, how is it? All your prime ministers being lawyers. Yeah, excuse minutes. But they lawyers.
I put it to you that they could see the plantation through the palm trees and didn't care. That's what I put to you. Listen, this is a very interesting article. Once again, Privy Council dismisses, quote, absurd arguments in Friday's Guardian, Friday the 5th of May, 23, in determining that all children born out of wedlock to foreign women and Bahamian men are citizens at birth, the Judicial Committee of the Privy Council has corrected what it determined was a misinterpretation of an important constitutional provision over the last 50 years and dismissed as absurd certain arguments that were made on behalf of the Attorney General who appealed a Court of Appeal ruling on this significant constitutional point.
What word did they use?
Absurd.
What that means? I don't know. Use a smart one.
Listen, all I want to tell you
I don't
is
know what absurd means.
It means wildly ridiculous.
Ridiculous.
Like, I couldn't imagine that that's what you was thinking.
Y'all come all the way this far in England to do what?
So, though, listen, I don't know whether it's worse to say are incompetent or is voice to suggest that they are obviously, there's obviously a collective bias that's led to a collective cognitive dissonance, right? And that the stagnation is a result of a deeply rooted bias that could have resulted from many things, right? But a deeply rooted bias. I just saying. I don't know which one is worse, but Gonzalez, that's how you pronounce his name?
It was Esto. Gonzalez.
I could be honest with you. Much respect to my Caribbean brothers and sisters in St. Lucia, the rest of the region. Much respect to them. I've been to St. Lucia. It was wonderful. I was treated beautifully.
Some people are them poor, man.
No, very.
That's okay.
Some of them extremely poor.
I went to solution. That's kind of poor.
Right? Ralph ain't nobody to be following up. Okay? Respectfully, sir.
You like Ralph?
It's not that I don't like him. It's that he has made himself unlikable. It's amazing, right? That like politicians don't see it. They don't see the space that they locate and what's required of them. Like, I want to be on Team Ralph, you know, because Team Ralph is extremely pro-reparations. He's pro-anti-imperialism, right, I think. At least he's pro-black people doing it, as opposed to white people doing it. He's pro-cannabis liberalization, right? He's pro-self-determination in the region. But Ralph have a problem. The same problem we seem to be having with maintaining rationality when it comes to matters of sexual violence and politically exposed people.
Look where you going with that agenda. What are you trying to talk about, Eric?
I ain't trying to talk about nothing but that it's very difficult to side with Ralph when he's trying to talk down to our political leaders. I think
he's talking about the judges. He wasn't talking about, Mr. Gonzalez wasn't talking about no political leaders. He was on the side of political leaders, right? I'm watching you. Go ahead.
That's what makes the contribution so much worse. But that he was only talking about judges. But certainly his commentary leaks far further than that. It is a wider critique on the entire system of governance in the Bahamas.
So this is bringing home back. And I acknowledge what you said, because I know of Mr. Gonzalez's commentary, what you're speaking of. Right?
And some of his behavior.
And some of he's of a different time. But I want to bring it home. Should we as Bahamians be concerned that our leaders are proving, when I say leaders, I'm talking about the legal fraternity, are proven to be inept. And there are people who are now questioning abroad that, hey, what is happening in the Bahamas. Because we normally held ourselves in high esteem that, no, we are the top of the Caribbean. We don't want to be a part of the Caribbean justice system, right? And when you're seeing that people are now questioning whether we are competent, the most obvious. Now, mind you, I want to put this on the record. I want to put this on the record because you mentioned the word bias earlier, right? I believe bias does exist. And I believe that our forefathers were biased in how they interpret this part of the Constitution. And I believe there's a reason for that, right? As we pursue bohemianhood and trying to protect what is bohemian, because we are a fragile, growing country, and whose culture and whose definition of who we are is fragile in general. Mm-hmm. I feel that our forefathers saw that that if they allow openly, for Bahamians who were not born in the Bahamas, and I wanted to define that. I, a single man, having a child with a single woman in Europe, England, and that child automatically becomes a Bahamian. That's a Bahamian child by birth. Right. Right? And that child is Bahamian by birth, but never decides to come to the Bahamas, has a child with another English woman, that child too becomes Bahamian by birth. Right. Let me finish that. Let you respond. And that child, that's three generations now, who has a child who's Bahamian by birth, has a child with anyone, that's four or five generations of Bahamian by birth, right? Who has no connection to the culture, to Bahamiana, to what it is to be Bahamian, who can come to the Bahamas and claim, especially when you have sovereign, I mean, definitely have no sovereign rights fund no time soon, ever in life, right? Especially when you, if we talk about sovereign wealth fund, they should have access because they are Bahamians. And without the absence of any lords to protect, like how you can't vote if you're out of the country for 6 months or whatever it is, without the absence of any law being that, I see why the forefathers had that fear and say, man, we ain't going to let none of them be no citizen.
I mean, that's a great position. I don't know if we root that, if that is where the fear is rooted, but you're absolutely right. What are the consequences in the future? And see, we have been socialized to limit our vision to every 5 years. Don't worry about what's going to happen after 5 years. And so we can't see that. I wonder if the collective government has the capacity to envision. Native Americans is, we're not going to use that word anymore, those words anymore. Indigenous peoples, right, of the North Americas had a tradition. Every decision can only be made after seven generations of impact of that decision is considered and fleshed out. Seven generations. You got to sit down and consider the impact of this decision for seven into the future, right? That is the type of culture and governance that's required to do what it is that we say we want to do, which is you're born there, you get it. You just get it. We haven't considered the intended or unintended consequences. Now, you're going to tell me that these old guys, they did. I'm going to tell you, I don't know if that's as far as they went.
These were
thinking.
The best of us. No. These men were 30 Let me explain that. These men were 30, 35, who are now thinking at the same level of our 60-year-olds and our 70-year-olds who are still in politics. Our 35-year-olds of yesteryears were leading and being trailblazers in terms of changing the world, where our 60 and 70-year-olds who are leading us now still find it difficult to do. These were bright and the best of us of yesteryears, because our 30-year-olds ain't at this level no more. They ain't leading nothing. They mid-managers. And we need to call it as and say what it is. That the yesteryears, the leaders of yesteryears, clearly was far superior.
The problem, not the people. I got to tell you that. The problem isn't that 30-year-olds are incapable of the task. The problem is that the system refuses to allow 30-year-olds to assume the authority and to express and to engage in what they should naturally be doing.
Aaron, you're starting to sound like those people them who push this idealism.
This idealism, idle talk.
How old are they? Pause. How old?
They're old. They 70,
yeah, 80, but they're saying the same thing.
And they won't dictate to me.
Idealism
their
means
ideals. They believe I simple. They smart on
two
them.
Two things. We got to come to this call. But idealism to 80-year-olds is entirely different.
They believe I simple.
Idealism.
It's going to be me.
To 20 years old and 40 years old. Like, you could imagine that.
The audacity.
Hold on.
People going.
Let me go to this call. Caller, you come in right now. Yes, it's St. Vincent. Not St. Lucia, but also it is St. Lucia. They're beautiful. Equally wonderful, beautiful places. I have to root up their leaders. But the
Caribbean people, though. Let's talk
I ain't talking about them. I'm talking about Chastanet and Ralph. Good morning, caller. You're on the clock.
Yes, good morning to you, and good morning to Nui, Miss Green.
Good morning, CEA. How are you?
I'm okay. Just let me do some things, right?
No, hold on. What you going to do? The law changed, CEA.
No, the law changed.
And we got rights.
I'm saying to you.
Yes.
You're talking about the law. I'm saying to you how we never put thoughts in the discussion for immigration. There's two things in play here. And Nui made some statements. And when you look at it in the legal sense of Jus Soleil, right of birthplace, and Jus Sanguinis, right of blood, exactly what's in the Constitution is exactly the way it should be. The problem is because we were never taught even how to deal with citizenship. So
pause. 1 second, CA.
Yes.
It's not that we were never taught how to deal with citizenship and constitutional law. I've been to a couple of constitutional law classes, and I think we touched on like the citizenship chapters, identifying why they special, why they require a particular process for referendum. But nobody learns about the Constitution.
I'm talking about changing.
What I'm saying to you is nobody learns about the Constitution. Unless you're paying money to go to UBCOB, Eugene Deputch Law School, ain't nobody teaching you about the Constitution.
Right, because I use this because Nui spoke of something called derivative citizenship. And if we understand derivative citizenship, we could understand why in the Constitution the only person discriminated against is single Bahamian men having children outside of the Bahamas, just exactly what he said. Now, Nui, let me tell you why it isn't applied to the married Bahamian men. See, this is not a discrimination. There was a reason for men having the ability to see the world with a woman maybe one or two per year. Let me explain to you why. The reason why it doesn't apply to married Bahamian men is because the woman become a citizen has a right to citizenship. So she then becomes a Bahamian woman. That's why it doesn't apply to the married Bahamian men. But what also happened is that the reason why that original law that we like to say Bahamian men give foreign women rights, there was a protection clause when we originally put that in place because of the charter law and other different laws that was in place.
What's the protection clause?
For women. Where the women had a right to apply for citizenship upon marrying a Bahamian man. And I'm saying that there's reasons for everything, and it was not a discrimination. So you have to understand the English common law for which we was also subject to. But we repeat all these different things and just say it. And when somebody
C. Allen,
says,
pause. I can tell you, I really appreciate your point. But don't throw shade. I'm telling you, I really appreciate the point that you made. I'm going to take some notes. But don't throw shade, because the truth is, what do y'all expect the Bahamian people to know about the law and the Constitution? Be honest. Right? If we can go transition a little bit here, CA. Mm-hmm. What do y'all expect the Bahamian people to know? How do y'all expect the Bahamian people to show up to the conversation with informed opinions? We got 2,000 plus lawyers in this country. We got a backlog higher than the Tower of Babel. Nobody want to teach sensibly people the laws that they need, capital letters, the world around them.
Aaron, I want to add that our constitution, the Bahamian constitution, never discriminated against single men. The law was clear. The interpreters of the constitution interpreted wrongly. And that's why the Privy Council said it was blatant. It says by both parents. I know what both means. That means male and female. No questions asked. But we chose, or they chose, to interpret it differently. And me as a lay person, if I even go and challenge it, say, hey, and lay people did challenge it, and said, and that's how it came to go to the Privy Council, said, this doesn't make sense. But the judges we had and the lawyers we had who makes the laws decided, say, I hear you. We just choose to ignore you. And we've done that with the Privy Council decisions before, when the Privy Council rule on things and our government choose just to say, okay, yeah. I hear it.
I just want the government and the legal community to not pretend like they have enabled people to participate, right? That in the processes they have a duty to participate in. You haven't enabled them. You haven't made it possible for them to learn the law. In fact, the big joke is you lawyers make plenty of money because you can't go to court without one. Hmm. Y'all haven't enabled people to be able to determine their own steps and seek recourse themselves.
And I know we're about to transition to another topic, right? We know we have a debate happening where the Bahamian women, right, who are married, can transfer automatically their citizenship to their children. Mm-hmm. Right, and that's still debating. And at once upon a time, we had previous government administrations who wanted entrenched it into the constitution itself, and the Bahamian people objected. But the idea that decency and law and order demands that there's equality between men and women, no matter what. If one has it, the next will have it. We see that this administration has tarried. They said they want to communicate with more people, but they are duty bound to act swiftly and act now. Mm-hmm. So the more they tarry, it means the more that they purposefully is diminishing the rights of women. And women need to say that this administration do not care about us. This is why the tarrying. The tarrying is not consultation. The tarrying, they don't think much about you all. Because if it's urgent, they would have passed the law already and make it, because it's going to be any other law come true. They said, no, that's not. And they already said it's not on the agenda. It was not urgent. And you've seen that they've proven that it's not urgent. This idle talk.
Despite what all international law says, but despite what all legal culture and practice says, citizenship matters are the most urgent, and people must know where they
ain't urgent
from. Look here, let me go to the. I thank you, caller, for this short break in this part of the discourse.
Just don't cut, please. Just 1 second. Can I invite you to do a show exclusively on citizenship, because how Nuri talked about the misinterpretation, that was never misinterpretation by many people here. But I'm simply saying is that there's some other things concerning, like he said, as a single Bahamian man, I do not have any rights in the Constitution for children born out of the Bahamas. I'm just simply saying that in each instance, this is an opportunity.
C. Allen, I can tell you again. No. I hear in you, C. Allen. And I'm going to tell you again, every time you make this argument, I'm going to tell you, let us gather together and cry shame on the Bahamian judiciary. The Privy Council article...
Then rule.
No, it's not that they done rule, right? Give me a second.
Hold on, C. Allen.
Okay. You're going to take the conversation in a different direction. I'm trying to get to the article... Privy Council dismisses absurd arguments made on AG's behalf. And they quoted as saying the suggested reading contended for by the Attorney General is cumbersome and faintly absurd, right?
Right.
Let me tell you what that suggests to me. That you may in fact be correct, C. Allen Johnson, that the intention, right? That the intention is essentially to discriminate, and that discrimination is important. There are other areas where the Constitution permits Parliament to discriminate, like in personal matters, like marriage and burial and divorce, and in the appointment of senior officers in the uniformed forces, right? But what that quote I read, the suggested reading contended for by the Attorney General is cumbersome and faintly absurd. It goes on from there. What it suggests is that even if what you're saying is correct and the wording, I mean, not the wording, but the intent is important, right? And should be there. What the Privy Council is saying is, y'all could have done a better job of expressing it. This is a bunch of foolishness. And what I import, what I, not import, because I exporting from their words, what I infer, right, is that y'all are so caught up in protecting a ridiculousness. Y'all are so caught up in protecting your egos, in the suggestion that there's something wrong with this, that y'all didn't even take the time to realize that you could have worded it better and done your citizens a favor. Once again, it's another example of the political culture and the political class consuming everything. Everything must be done for their benefit. Everything must be done to suit their agenda, and everything must be done to make them look great. I am not dismissing what it is that you are saying about the law. We are not critiquing the law. We are critiquing the politics that always surround the law, C. Allen Johnson.
No, I understand your position.
And you're right.
We do need to have a show about it.
What I need you to do is to put together a panel, right?
I just need me in one QC. One KC.
No, man, it can't work like that, C. Allen. That ain't the type of conversation I try to have.
But I, Aaron, C. Yeah. Nuri, aren't prepared to have any debate with no one who is not a lawyer or a KC, a QC, or have studied the Constitution as part of who they are. That's just me. So in any future debate, if you don't bring any credentials to say, I have studied this and this is my credentials, I can't entertain the conversation. Now, if you could bring one or two QCs who studied the Constitution as their life form,
yeah,
not a general commentator on different topics to say they are expert, I can't entertain it because it doesn't benefit the Bahamas. Because now it's your interpreting, it's your personal interpretation instead of your legal interpretation from your expertise. Ergo, C. Allen Johnson is not qualified to give commentary on this.
I appreciate your position. You then caused me to tell you why I feel like I qualified to give commentary
you're
on this.
You're a commentator, but you were qualified to give your
only,
opinion on
only
this.
For one reason, because I ran a campaign for gender equality referendum. I've been doing this work for 23 years. I ran a campaign. I was successful. My position was affirmed by both the government, right? Has not been challenged publicly. I'm going to continue to, I can even, as you stoke me, I can continue to lay my credentials on the table. I just want to say this, is that 20 years of, you say constitutional reading, I'll argue to you there are many lawyers that are not qualified for this conversation.
Aaron, and you some people who tell people vote no?
Yeah. I can't be listening to you. What? No, I can't be listening
yes.
to you. You mess up that constitution reform.
Spoil the ballot.
XXX.
Who you can vote for, though? The lesser of two evils? Good morning, caller. You on the clock.
Good morning, Aaron. Good morning, Nuri.
Good morning, Pumpkin
Eater. Nuri, before I get to my point, the Constitution that wasn't made up just by lawyers. Study how the Constitution are made up. But that's not my point.
Okay, good, Pumpkin Eater, because if we were starting there,
he's
going to have a problem.
Yeah,
don't respond to that.
Problem.
Yes, sir.
Right, because you understand the make of the Constitution. But my main point, go ahead. Okay, so my main point is, I always say that thing with a single man getting passed on citizenship was erroneous. I made comments on that. I wrote about that years ago, decades ago. But it proved that now I have a victory because I know it didn't make no sense. It's sad that our educated lawyers and judges didn't see the necessity of not making any sense. And thank God for our Privy Council, and I give them credit.
Mm-hmm.
And the answer and proving that the Pumpkin Eater was right.
Okay.
That any, hold on, will you say something if I finish? Well, let me finish right then. It proving that I'm right that any child who born in this country should be Bohemian. But we had to be the Bohemian woman or Bohemian man.
I got you, Pumpkin Eater.
Were you going to say something though?
Oh, yeah, I can say something. Thank you very much, Pumpkin Eater.
As you read the commentary there, right, I always try to bring humility and take out my ego and things. I never say I say and I did.
Yeah.
Purposely, in order to show that I'm not a god.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? I'm like the Anglicans who get vexed when you saying I did it my way in the church, and they shut down the whole church, say no, 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 that song will not be allowed inside this church at all. So when I see people call, and we have off chronic callers who call and say, I always did this, and I always proposed this, I should get the credit on this, that ain't nationalism or nationhood building at all. So I'm concerned about that also. And when you speak about the narrative of things, but go ahead, Aaron.
I want to say to Pumpkin Eater and all the people listening, right? Let's pause for a second. What is right is to know who they are, that people have not just a connection to the place they were born in, but that people have access to the benefits and resources that are available to them, right? Like, the position put forward by Mr. Newry earlier in the conversation, that there may be a valid reason for what the thing that we call discrimination in the Constitution. A Mr. Gilbert Morris posited a wonderful contribution on social media, demanding us to expand beyond our biases and our sort of regular thought, right? And examine what are the implications of our policies into the long term. So Pumpkin Eater, I think that it is good that people have certainty in their lives, right? So that individually they can continue to develop. They have self-determination. They could make decisions. They can get education. They could go off abroad if they have achieved things, right? That is important. But what I am critiquing today is not the law itself. What I am critiquing today is the distance between the citizens and decision-making, the distance between the citizens and these processes, and the distance between the determination of who should get citizenship and who shouldn't get citizenship, right? It's almost as if the powers that be think that it's their decision to make and not our decision to make. And despite every time we tell them we didn't vote you in, we voted the other party out, they still step on this soapbox, this moral high ground of the voice of the people is the voice of God, and you vote us in, and we now have the power to make these decisions on your behalf. It's not a plantation. And even if the Constitution suggests you could do that or tells you you could do that, it's 2023. Who gave you the audacity to think that you should do that?
And I know you need to read the text, Tim, but I want to say this also, Aaron. Popper is right. Was right when he said that common people create laws. And the halls of parliament allow common people, everyday people, when I mean to common people, I mean everyday people can become a member of parliament and create laws. However, our system is that the interpretators of laws are learned people. They go to school and become specialists. Only the judicial system, in terms of the justices and the judges, are able to interpret what is the law it is itself.
Mm-hmm.
Not the common man on the street. Because everybody has an opinion, say, well, I don't believe that's right. But you could believe anything. However, it's interpreted by the justices and the judges. And that's how our system is. And this reference, it was interpreted by the court and then went to
our
court of appeal and then went to the highest court in the land, which is the Privy Council. And they interpret the law that is on the books.
Yeah.
And we must now accept it or change the law again.
I got this text. I got this text. Well, since C.A. Allen can't speak, where are your credentials to comment on these legal issues? Look here. C. Allen could speak. C. Allen calls every radio show every day. He called this show twice. He spoke at length the first time, called back a second time, and insisted to ignore the point that I was making. And hold on, continue in his conversation. There is nothing preventing C. Allen from speaking. And that's a scurrilous thing you do to suggest that somehow we are limiting his right to free speech.
I'll question this. If I have to decide, besides the opinions and conclusions of a C. Allen Johnson versus the Privy Council, I must now choose which one went to school and studied the Constitution. And this is where my argument is. Which one specialized in the Constitution. And I would go as far as to say it isn't C. Allen Johnson. And that's the conclusion. We must decide who we must conclude.
I get another text that it says, we don't want to hear from y'all, right? They say, if CA ain't credentialed, then how are we credentialed? They want to hear from lawyers. And that's the point.
Roland, I'm not giving any conclusion, no. I only repeat what the Privy Council say. I have no opinion on this. See, Alan has an opinion.
Call I come in right.
I don't have an opinion.
Call I come in right now. Don't go anywhere. And the point that I am making is this. Like you said, the Privy Council can only interpret the laws. Who has failed in this matter? Is it the Privy Council who's doing its job?
The Privy Council doing its job.
Or once again, like you say, we want to hear from the lawyers. Do you know where they are? Do you know where the lawyers are, Texter? I know where they are. Mm-hmm. Many of them are trapped in a bar association to parliament pipeline.
Well, that's where it is, doing it.
Yeah, because the union to parliament pipeline is effective.
I want to know who do we listen to? A constitutional lawyer or someone who
And
why don't they speak?
Good morning, caller. You're on the clock. Good morning. Go on. Morning.
Especially to man down day woman.
Good day, sir.
You may just now, maybe you should have a show on that one day. They don't really, I don't know if they're checking for the people like that no more to get their opinion on most of the things, the laws or whatever they want to do. So maybe it'll be a good thing to have a show on that, on whether the politicians really take, even the trivial, they don't even know how to be, because people always like to say, oh, we put them there to make those decisions. Yeah, and then when the decision don't suit you, you want to make noise. But what I'm saying,
mm-hmm.
Even if you want to start with some of the trivial things, maybe you should have a show on whether the politicians are willing to listen to the majority of the people when they try to pass or do the same thing. Yeah, thank you. Have a good day.
Well, absolutely. Thank you very much, caller. That is, like, the question is, would we be in this position if we had a different approach to governance, right? And I'm suggesting that we focus on politics so much that the government gets lost in the palm trees, right? And that we want to hear from the lawyers. I want to hear from the lawyers. Did you notice the lack of engagement from constitutional lawyers during the gender equality reform exercise? But let's swing right back to what we're talking about. You know, C. Allen Johnson has a full breadth of scope of work out there. He got a WhatsApp channel. Account. Thank you, producer. He got a WhatsApp account where he is publishing information on a daily basis. C. Allen Johnson needs an institute. It is inappropriate to suggest that every day he could call in and contribute 10 to 15 minutes to every subject that suits him. Right? We go to the break. When we come back from the break, I'm going to continue on the conversation we had last week about the institutions and mechanisms we need to have the conversations we want to have.
Can't wait till Wednesday. We're going to hash this out.
Yes, sir.
We'll be right back.
Absolutely. Going to the break.
The sixth edition of the Bahamas Games are on the way. July 7th through the 15th, get ready for inter-island sporting competition in the spirit of unity and camaraderie. Which island is gonna win? It's the Bahamas Games. Our nation, our talent, our games. And look out for the V Games crew coming to your island soon. For more information, call 809-1242 or visit thebahamasgames.org.
Love the show? Want to give your support? Become a sponsor today. Call 302-2300 for our rates and packages. That's 302-2300. Become a sponsor on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Always on the go? Missed the show? You can now listen to Guardian Radio talk shows anytime, anywhere on Spotify and YouTube by searching Guardian Radio 96.9 FM or by entering the name of your favorite show. You can also listen by logging on to guardiantalkradio.com and clicking on the podcast tab. Guardian Radio, continuing to provide you with fresh news and smart talk anywhere, anytime, all day.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Mr. Newry, I enjoyed this conversation greatly. It gives me much to look forward to for Wednesday. I wanted to make a connection between this Privy Council ruling and the CJ, Chief Justice ruling on the shanty towns where they only demolished 200 out of 300 homes. But this is the comment I want to add from the article, Shanty Win, But Just for Two Homes, from Wednesday of, from Thursday of last week. Quote, government lawyers argued shantytown residents had adequate notice of the injunction, citing press statements and communications from government officials. The Chief Justice goes on to say, I do not find that there is adequate evidence that anyone other than the parties to this action could be said to have properly had notice of the injunction. He said, further, while there may have been press statements and notices placed in certain communities, this was not done with the authority of an order for substituted service. The broadcasting of the information or its general distribution could not properly suffice.
Wow. All I can say is wow.
Right? And I want to say that this is a culture. This is a culture. Like, how are people supposed to know if you don't tell them?
It was a secret, clearly. We didn't want to tell them.
Then pause. We're going to pick that up on Wednesday. Good morning, caller. You're on the clock.
Aaron, hey, CA.
Good morning. How you do?
Doing great. I'm very distraught here for a second. There, the last statement you made that is purported to come from the CJ's perspective on notice to the persons in the shanty towns to vacate.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, like CA so rightfully said, when you said wow, CA, mm-hmm. I said wow as well. Mm-hmm. Because if you're saying that all the information disseminated in the public domain and also on foot in these shanty towns were done, notices were posted, how much more does persons need to have in order to have for them to recognize that a move is about to be had?
Okay, I mean, cousin, that's a great point, right? That's a great point. I with you, right? That's a matter of law. Let's go to policy. We're not looking at what we think is reasonable communication. We're looking right. at what does the actual policy, law and policy say is required of them to do it properly. And if we think that that's too much, why didn't we just change the law?
Aaron, you brought up a great point. The point here then is, who says that, well, where is the establishment that the way how it was done was not in part or whole the correct way to do it?
It's in the ruling.
Okay.
Yeah, and well, we can get to that. It's in the ruling.
We'll get to that. Let me close on this one point.
Yeah.
You know, we talk about the constitutional lawyers in this country. I would like to know, who are these constitutional lawyers? Are they certified as constitutional lawyers? Why is there not an association of constitutional lawyers for the Bahamian people to call upon them?
Mm-hmm.
We know of a few names. You know, Maurice Tynes, I think is one. Justice Joan Sawyer is another.
Mm-hmm.
Our good friend Thompson is another. But where are these persons, as far as a body is concerned, that they will concentrate and focus on agitating the necessary changes in our Constitution, not just in the public domain, but actually going forward in an official capacity?
You're absolutely right.
That these things must happen. We're tired of the rhetoric.
They are quiet.
We're seeing the Constitution being violated left, right, and center, and we are being stronghold or being held hostage by one particular person who is a constitution, who apparently is a constitutional lawyer when it comes down to migrants, and yet we have yet to hear the fraternity come up against this one person to present adequate evidence of why we need to get our constitutions changed to the betterment of the Bahamas and the Bahamian people.
Thank you very much, Jeff.
We have to fix these things. Thank you for taking my
call. Absolutely, Jeff.
Let me read this into the record. When people say they want to hear from lawyers, that's just a sinister way to silence you. All these lawyers in the country, and no one is stopping them from talking. They choose not to speak, either because they are ignorant on the subject matter, or they are not interested in helping to keep the Bahamians informed. Thank God for talk shows and hosts like you and Aaron.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you. Because what we're trying to do is bring, not just bring matters to the fore, but interrogate, hit nuances, right? Show people different perspectives, and then encourage those who have a responsibility to help us do that, to do that. Caller, you're on the clock.
Good morning, Ms. Nuri.
Good morning, sir. How are you doing?
I'm fine, and I hope everybody had a beautiful weekend and a safe one.
Yes, sir.
And I wish the Bahamian people all my love, and God bless the Commonwealth of the Bahamas, our flag, and our emblem.
Yes, sir.
But you know, I want to ask you, Ms. Green, I don't know none but law. Other than the ones they tell me about driving and my driver's license, my car license, my marriage license, my divorce degree, and everything like that. Uh-huh. But I have a problem now. But these people were supposed to be lawyers and chief justice and head of states and everything when it comes down to Bahamian law. You were trying to tell me you came into the Bahamas in the middle of the night in a shanty town, landed on an island, a country that does not belong to you. You run in the bush, you build a shanty town on land that does not belong to you. You have no work permit, you have no sewer system,
Sparky,
you have no electric
Sparky
system and everything. You breed
Sparky
children
there
all over the
Sparky
place.
Sparky.
Hold on, you build
Sparky
this city.
I'm trying to figure out how to pause it. Producer, pause it for a second.
Mind you.
Hello?
No. I can't let you continue. The idea is Sparky has called me on 4 different shows saying this thing 4 different times. I heard it already. Mm-hmm. The people heard this. I mean, if you could give a different spin on it, I'd appreciate it. But don't have it memorized and you call and say the exact same thing again and again and don't expect me to say, hey, you tell me this already, you know. Let's get agitated, man.
Mm-hmm.
I want to hear the conversation, but say it differently, man. You can't say the same thing. Besides, we ain't talking about that. We talking about the ruling. We talking about the ruling what went inept, which was, didn't work out. So talk on that topic, not on your own personal agenda.
And you know I'm easily distracted, Mr. Nuri. Let me read these texts very quickly. Hi, Aaron. Again, it is St. Vincent and the Grenadines. I love them both, and I love them bad. Trust me. Clay is Bahamian by birth and heart, boy. I think that was for you. Aaron Nuri is right. The young kids today ain't fighting for anything they wanted, given the forefathers fought for power, not waited for it. Young people lazy. No. It's far more sophisticated and nuanced than that. We have created a system where you can only get things if people give them to you, because that's how power works in this town. We have socialized our children into this behavior, but when it doesn't serve us, then we have a problem with it. There are constitution laws of certifications for non-lawyers. Guess Nuri doesn't know that. I can be honest with you. I bet 90% of the Bahamas and 50% of the Bar Association didn't know that, Mr. Alan Johnson. That's why I'd say stop throwing shade at people. We notice how Nuri convolute and conflate what C. Allen said into other citizenship issues we should listen to learn, period. Then he can comment, or is he just hired to confuse? Dear Texter, again, I'm going to make this point before we close the show. C. Allen is a great contributor to discussions, right? But if C. Allen wants to be the center of this discussion, he should do what I have begged him to do continuously over the last 10 years, which is open an institute and take teaching people seriously. There are sound bites that you can get in on the radio, and you can be very effective with that. But what C. Allen is attempting to do requires more than I or any talk show host can give him on a daily or a regular basis. So y'all stop throwing shade at people and trying to suggest that people have a nefarious agenda because they're trying to balance their show. Totally agree with UCA. I'll listen to the Privy Council any day before someone without a law degree. If the Haitian in the shanty town's been told to move from 2012, how is that not adequate time? Your thoughts are incorrect. Now only the 2 Bahamian homes in the shanty town will be demolished. Dear Texter, again, y'all have missed the point. People take advantage of the law and of people who don't know the law. Please don't be taken advantage of by political opportunists that are spreading narratives that solely aim to perpetuate their own political agenda. Another text. When they have their secret meeting, it is be well attended. Ooh, the chick chat. Their text, I forget what you was texting about. The lawyer say, frankly, I am not discombobulated by the semantics of the CJOK. It's foolishness. They are snobbish and they lack fortitude. Dear texter, once again, but perhaps I should address this response to the Bar Association in the legal community. Now you see the impact of your absence in daily life in the Bahamas. Now you see it? How is it that we, the citizens, are required to know the law, to stay on the right side of the law, to stay out of jail, but nobody is required to teach it to us or offer classes that people can reasonably afford at the right time in life? All one has to do to apply for citizenship or to thief land is to publish a notice in the newspapers. Listen, you talking to me about idealism. Idealism to a 20-year-old is completely different than idealism to an 80-year-old. When you 80-year-old, you could dream of owning the sun. In fact, you could idealize your way into owning the sun at 80. And then talk about how quieting of lands is a bad thing for the Bahamas.
Shit.
Mr. Newry, we had such a good time today. Caller, I'm sorry I didn't get to you. Audience members who I have infuriated, I hope my words act as a salve to calm and balm your heart. But more importantly, whoever is responsible for the organizing of the Bahama Games.
Lord have mercy.
Is it time to cancel it? July 6th is only 59 days away.
I'll say this, Aaron. If my guest doesn't confirm by today for tomorrow, I'll talk about the Bahama Games with you.
Okay, because I want to talk. Tomorrow's supposed to be Conspiracy Tuesday. Tomorrow, we're examining and attempting to disprove conspiracy theories on the show tomorrow.
Okay.
Something light. Something different.
Something different.
Thanks for tuning in. Thank you, producer, for not cutting me. I've ran out of my time. Thank you, Mr. Newry. Guardian Radio AM is up next. Have a beautiful day, Bahamas.
It's the will of God.